Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. It's 84 degrees and sunny in Miami right now. 82 with fair skies in Havana, which normally would be the opposite of news. But of course, the skies clearing today means people can really start taking stock of what Hurricane Irma has wrought. One thing we know, more than 10 million people are still without power in Florida alone. We'll take stock now with Nicholas Nahamas, who's got the overview as the Irma news anchor in the Miami Herald newsroom. He won a Pulitzer this year, by the way, for his coverage of the Panama Papers. And Michael Weisenstein, Caribbean bureau chief for the Associated Press. He's in Havana. Michael and Nicholas, I'm sure you're slammed with your own coverage this morning, so we really appreciate the time you're giving us. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you for having us.
So I'm looking at a Miami Herald headline that says, Irma could have been a lot worse for Florida, but it's not a pretty picture. And an AP headline that says, worst ever seen, European leaders view Irma hit islands. So, Michael, what about it is the worst ever seen in the Caribbean?
It is particularly bad in the Northeast Caribbean, in the Leeward Islands, in St. Martin, the U.S. Virgin Islands, St. Barts, and those islands got the first hit, and they really got the worst. I mean, they still have power down, water problems, there's looting, there's been gunfire, and in Cuba, it's not as bad, but Cuba sucked up a lot of the energy of the storm as it was heading to Florida, and things here were pretty bad, too, for a few days, and are still continuing without power in a lot of places and without water.
And Nicholas, could have been a lot worse, but not a pretty picture in South Florida. Your headline, what are some of the specifics?
Well, downtown Miami, when the storm hit, the main drag running through the city turned into a 3-foot-high river choked with debris. We have 25% of homes in the Florida Keys completely destroyed. Downtown Jacksonville has been a flood zone with more than 350 people rescued from the rising waters. Millions of people without power. All that to say, yes, this could have been much, much worse. Most of the state, the Gulf Coast, except for Marco Island, the central part of the state in Orlando, were spared a direct hit. So we know in the Keys at least a few people have died. We've seen reported that there are 11 deaths across the continental United States, but it really, really could have been much worse if Irma had scored a direct hit in the U.S. without being weakened by its progress through Cuba.
And a Washington Post headline this morning says, Irma was no Andrew, meaning Hurricane Andrew 25 years ago, which to watch television in the days leading up to Irma, it was like, oh, you thought Andrew was something. Wait till you see Irma. Would you agree with that comparison? Irma was no Andrew?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Hurricane Andrew, when it came through, wiped out much of South Dade. I mean, really completely off the map. You looked at the homes down there, and it's as if they had never existed. Now, in the middle Keys, especially the middle Florida Keys, we are seeing that kind of devastation. The Herald was one of the only news organizations to actually have a reporter in Key West during the storm. He sheltered through the storm and then yesterday drove up through the Keys. This is David Ovalle. And really saw incredible destruction. I mean, homes blown away, moved onto the other side of the road, people who lost everything, boats in the middle of the overseas highway, storm surge up to chest-high levels. So if anywhere in the U.S. really caught this storm, it was the Middle Keys, and Marco Island, where the storm made landfall, in the Gulf Coast also. But compared to Andrew, no, it was not that kind of complete devastation.
Michael, in Havana, how much is this still a rescue operation anywhere in the Caribbean with people still in physically dangerous circumstances?
In the Leeward Islands, in the Virgin Islands, in St. Barts, St. Martin, it is still not people in active danger in most places, but there are thousands of people that need to get off those islands. So that's very much if not a rescue, an evacuation operation there.
And Nicholas, how about Florida in that respect? Anyone?
Yes, yes. Jacksonville, there's serious rescue operations going on. The mayor, and this echoes what we saw in Katrina, is asking people who are stranded and need emergency help to hang a white flag of some kind, a white T-shirt, from their home in the Keys. The Air National Guard is running rescue missions from helicopters. People are now being allowed into the Upper Keys, and the Florida Highway Patrol is trying to clear roads down into the Middle Keys.
We're getting an overview of the Irma aftermath now, and in some places, as you just heard, it's not the aftermath yet, with Nicholas Nahamas, who's got the overview as the Irma news anchor in the Miami Herald newsroom, and Michael Weissenstein, Caribbean Bureau Chief for the Associated Press. He's in Havana. If anybody has any questions or anything to report from people you know or stories to tell, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And we have with us briefly Allie, who's in Charlottesville, Virginia right now, but was evacuated, I understand, on Saturday from Cruz Bay in St. John. Allie, thank you for giving us a couple of minutes. You're on WNYC.
Good morning. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
What happened to you and your family?
We just weathered the storm out at one of our friends' villas, thank goodness, because if we had stayed in our house, we most certainly would have died. And I was able to get myself and my 2.5-month-old baby off the island on Saturday over to Puerto Rico.
Were you there on vacation, or do you have a house there?
No, we live there.
Oh.
We used to live there.
And what are you hearing about what you'll have to go back to and when?
We don't have, a lot of people don't have anything to go back to. A lot of the women and kids that I know that evacuated, just our homes are gone. Anything that we leave there is going to be subject to the elements or looters. It's uninhabitable. We were told that our side of the island wouldn't have electricity for at least 9 months to a year.
Wow.
So it's just, I mean, our house is totally destroyed, so we won't be returning. And I think that's the same case for a lot of people. However, we all love our island very much, and I think there's quite a few people that want to stay and help rebuild.
So now you're in Charlottesville, where nothing bad ever happens.
just the KKK.
That's right. You sound in good spirits. What are you going to do, and how do you think what's the worst of it for people who may not? Sounds like you have a certain amount of room to breathe here with your own situation. How devastated is the entire community, and what kind of shape are other people in?
We are very blessed to have it so well. We have a lot of family and friends that are helping us out. But there are people that have no place to go in the States. There's a lot of people that have lived on that island for 30, 40 years, 50 years, you know, generations of people that I don't even know if they know what their options are. There's people on the side of the east end of the island that probably don't even know that there's boats coming over to try to evacuate them. Where we were, we wouldn't have known. We thought we were totally isolated. We didn't know that there would be any sort of efforts to save us, so we didn't even bother to look for it, and it was just pure luck that we found a way to get off.
Wow.
They just really still need a lot of footwork on the island. My fiance, who got off yesterday, told me they're starting to run out of water. People are running out of money. He said that things are getting pretty weird, and he's not a scaredy kind of guy. So
that is
hearing that made me very grateful to have my family off, but still a lot of friends. I have a lot of friends whose husbands are still there.
Incredibly troubling. And Allie, I'm really glad you let people know about that, even though it's really troubling. Thank you for giving us a few minutes.
Thank you so much. Thanks for getting the word out for us.
So Michael Weissenstein, Caribbean Bureau Chief for the Associated Press, wow about that caller. And can you put that in context for us? I know we were hearing, and I think to people in our listening area up here in New York, it's like an abstraction. We were hearing you know, the worst hit places like St. Martin and Barbuda had 95% of homes and other infrastructure destroyed. But we can't even relate to that in human terms until maybe we hear a caller like Allie tell that frightening story.
That's right. There are a lot of people who are either evacuated or who are remaining there, struggling, trying to get their lives back in order. And in a lot of these places, it's going to be months until they get basic services back, let alone get back to normal.
I heard going into the storm that Cuba, where you are, has particularly good storm proofing. How true is that compared to other places, St. John, St. Martin, Barbuda, wherever?
Cuba has good sort of human emergency response services. It's a, you know, for better and for worse, a top-down state. And on storm and other natural disasters, they're very good about getting people to go where the government wants them to go. From an infrastructure point of view, it's not the same picture. A lot of the housing here hasn't had maintenance in 60 years. Buildings are falling apart even before a storm. And a lot of the 10 Cubans who died in the storm died when pieces of buildings fell off onto them.
Heather in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Heather.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just heard from my cousin. She's in Florida but has her kids in St. Thomas, that St. Thomas lost their hospital and that the prices of food now is, like, astronomical. Like, water, a carton of water is, like, 20-something bucks, plus a packet of hot dog is 20-something bucks as well.
Michael, I guess that one's for you, too.
Yeah, we're seeing that in a lot of places. I mean, things are running low. In some places, there's looting. I haven't heard of any on St. Thomas, but obviously, some people are charging what they can for the supplies that remain. I think the government is trying to get food and water into a lot of these places, but these are things that take, because of the nature of these places as islands and the power of this storm, it's going to take days or weeks to get, you know, even supplies of the, you know, groceries, as she was saying, is going to take a long time.
Which means that other lives are going to be threatened. People are literally going to run out of food?
Let's hope not. I mean, I think I haven't heard of cases of people in a situation where they're at risk of starvation, but I think it's going to be very uncomfortable and unpleasant at the very least.
Nicholas at the Miami Herald, what's the power situation in Florida now? I'm seeing 13 to 15 million people still out across the state and another million in Georgia. That's a lot of people without power.
That is, you know, up to three quarters of the state of Florida. We did an interview with the acting DHS secretary 2 days ago, and she told us that it could take weeks to get these power lines back up. There are curfews in place in much of the affected Florida areas. That's allowing the utility companies to have full access to the roads and try and repair these lines. I mean, it's nothing compared to what we heard the caller say about the power situation in the Caribbean, but, you know, Florida is very hot right now. It's humid. It's not fun to be stuck in your house without power.
What's the gas situation and other obstacles to people returning home today? I know there was a lot of evacuation from Florida to the New York area just because there are so many families, you know, from so many different backgrounds that have connections there. Is it difficult to get back?
Yes, and authorities are asking people not to try and return yet. Even in Miami Beach, which was opened up this morning at 8 a.m. after the causeways connecting it to the mainland were shut down, there were long lines of cars trying to get back onto the beach. There was a crush of cars going north that really slowed traffic before the storm hit. Now we're expecting to see a crush of cars going south, and that could slow down recovery and emergency relief efforts. Fuel is a concern, but they are opening the ports back up so they can try and get fuel in. And DHS also waived a longstanding provision preventing foreign-owned or foreign-manufactured ships from carrying fuel or carrying anything between U.S. ports. So they're doing everything they can to try and get fuel into Florida.
Michael, we know here in New York and New Jersey from Sandy and from Katrina in New Orleans that anyone can get seriously affected. But proportionately, poor people get more severely affected because they have to live in more vulnerable places and for other reasons. Can you tell how much, if any, of that kind of disparate impact there's been from Irma around the Caribbean?
Yeah, we're already seeing complaints of unfair treatment in St. Martin, St. Barts, the Leeward Islands that got badly hit and that also have a lot of tourism. People there, residents of the islands, are complaining that they are not getting attended to by the French and the Dutch governments as much as the tourists who are being helped there. And there's a racial element to that. A lot of the tourists are white, and a lot of the residents are Afro, mixed race, Caribbean, and people are already starting to say that they think there's racism in the response.
And in Florida, Nicholas?
Well, we've already seen the power of the dollar. You know, many rich people flew out of Miami on private planes and are now staying in hotels with backup generators. I can tell you we'll be watching very closely where the power comes back on first. Is it going to be on the beach and on the high rises downtown, or is it going to be in the working class suburbs and the urban core poorer neighborhoods? We will be watching that.
And never mind flying out on private planes, those very few people. I wonder if there's going to be some reckoning after the fact about airlines price gouging and probably other providers of services I'm not thinking of price gouging. I was looking on the airline sites as early as Tuesday and Wednesday of last week, and I was seeing flights from Miami and Fort Lauderdale to New York and Cleveland of $900. I saw one for over $2,000. JetBlue, I think they got some good publicity for making all their flights $99 last week. Confirm if that actually happened. But what about a reckoning? JetBlue, yes, they did do that?
They did, and the state attorney general activated Florida's price gouging law, which prevents price gouging behavior. You know, in addition, during an emergency, in addition to the airlines, you know, we also saw pallets of water on Amazon, you know, going for $50 when they could be had much cheaper in the stores if you were willing to wait in line. And you know, if those items were sold to a Florida customer, the AG told us that they will be investigating and possibly bringing price gouging actions.
And we have a comment on our comments page. Can't verify it, but somebody says they heard they're charging $20 for a hot dog in a grocery store on St. Thomas. Before you go, Nicholas, I see at the top of the Miami Herald site, there's an appeal to give to the United Way of Miami. After Harvey, we talked on the show about the pros and cons of giving to the Red Cross as a catch-all charity. Some say yes, some say no. Do you know why your paper is funneling readers to the United Way in particular?
They're a prominent organization in Miami. That, you know, that's a very good question. I am aware of the problems with the Red Cross. I haven't heard anything similar about the United Way. You know, I would say, in conclusion, just that we have to remember, and this is a thing that's very concerning, this is a storm that largely missed Florida, and yet, you know, we will be feeling its impact for months. A storm, a Category 4 or 5 storm that actually gave us a direct hit, it's hard to imagine how bad it could be.
Michael, best ways for my listeners to help the hardest hit Caribbean island residents?
This is still really a government response, and a government response that's only just picking up momentum now. I think we're a little ways off from having a charity that people can donate to that I could confidently recommend for helping these islands.
On a lighter note, Nicholas, which I think everybody deserves by now, I'll note that the Tampa Bay Rays versus New York Yankees games this weekend, this week, weeknights, are being played here in New York and Wednesday afternoon, moved out of Tampa. Some extra fun last night for Yankee fans with the team in a pennant race, getting some cheap tickets to see them in the unfriendly confines of the Mets City Field. And maybe more of interest down there, I see this week's University of Miami versus Florida State football game is not going to be played. That's how you know this storm is a big deal in Florida, right?
Yes, and the Dolphins Bucks game was canceled also. I know a lot of my friends who play fantasy football were resetting their lineups at the last minute to account for that.
I guess like they moved the Tampa Bay Rays game to New York. I guess they can't move Miami, Florida State to Clemson or something, right? That wouldn't make sense. All right, we will leave it there with Nicholas Nahamas, who has the overview as the Irma news anchor in the Miami Herald newsroom, and Michael Weisenstein, Caribbean Bureau Chief for the Associated Press. He's in Havana. Thank you both so much for giving us time on what I'm sure is a crazy day for both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.